We appreciate Dr. Bill coming, and we appreciate Apostle Leon Walters for bringing him here. Amen. These are our fathers in the faith, and I'm so honored to have them both here tonight. And there is an impartation that we receive, and there are things that happen in the territory that because they're in the house. Okay? And so for those of you who are ministers, this will affect your ministry because there's breakthrough tonight. There's power in the shout tonight. And we are going to participate together as Dr. Bill teaches us and leads us. And so at this time, would you stand and give Bishop a warm welcome tonight as he comes to the platform?
All righty. Let's give the Lord a good hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. The nice little devil just took off. You may be seated. When Jesus introduced me to General Michael in 1997, and it was a four-point vision, and one point was he introduced me. And we talked about how we're going to win this war. How many know we're a light and there's darkness in this world? We're good and there's evil, and we're in a war. And if you forget you're in a war, you're going to get killed. You're not going to be on guard. You're going to be thinking, you know. You know, the devil loves them to teach that there is no devil, so he can be free to do his stuff. But he said one thing Michael told me, and I like to be a fellow general. How many know angels are our allies? Come on. We don't worship angels, but we do, you know, we don't worship Israel, but they're our allies. Come on. And Michael said, whenever you need me, you're going to go to war, let me know, and I'll be there with my angels. And I've been watching them come all night. And they're just coming while I'm preaching. They're going to still be coming. And time we get ready to go, there's going to be thicker than everything. And, you know, I have about a squadron of angels that travel with me wherever I go. I'm not one that sees a lot of things, but I know a lot of things. I don't have to see it with the natural eye. I just have to know it's in the spirit, and I walk in it. Amen? And so we're going to believe God for great things. Now, we're going to two or three things. I just want you to know the principle. I'm going to teach you for a while. Normally it takes 3 days to teach over this, but I want you to get the book, God's Weapons of War. Everybody say, God's Weapons of War. And the title says, For Destroying the Powers of Darkness. And it's published by Chosen. I thought we had enough books down at for sales sent up, but it didn't. I should have brought a box of Your Highest Calling and the War Book. But this is the only book out right now on corporate warfare. Now, as you know, most of my life, the last 40, 50 years, has been on the prophetic. But since 1992, when God told me, the two prophets prophesied to me and said, I want you to go to the Pacific Rim nations and stop Satan's plans. And two prophets said the same thing in different places, different times. Don't you love the way prophets prophesy? They don't tell you when, where, how, by what means. And so I went back home and I said, Lord, what are you talking about? I don't even know where the Pacific Rim nations are. I had to look them up. And I found out they're just the nations that touch the Pacific Rim, but touch the Pacific Ocean. And so I said, what have I got to do? He said, I want you to stop Satan's plans for World War III. And he said, this is not my plans. This is not my prophetic destiny. This is the devil's own doings. He's going to try to start an East-West war. And I want you to go lead the church in warfare and stop them. How many know anything the devil plans, we can stop? Anything the devils do, we can destroy. We're devil destroyers. One of the biggest challenges I've been having over the years is get Christians off their charismatic cruise ship and get them on their prophetic apostolic warship, get to their guns and blow the devil out of the water, out of their lives, out of their ministry. We're warriors! Hallelujah. And when Cindy Jacobs, 15 years ago, prophesied that God had made me a five-star general in the army of the Lord. Somebody gave me some material and showed you that in America, they only made five-star generals when it was wartime. I thought, well, that fits. We're in war. Hallelujah. And since that time, I've gone to 30 nations and led them in corporate warfare. And I kept getting words, when you go now, you're going to start shifting nations. And the most common thing I've heard in the last 5, 7, 8 years is they say, we feel like you shifted the nations. Well, if we can shift nations, we ought to be able to shift this area.
That's right.
Come on. How many of God wants to do something different in this? Amen. We're going to reach out for about,
amen.
I don't know, how far you want to reach? 50 miles out, 100 miles out? How far you want to reach out tonight? We're going to, this is not just for this church. This is going to, be headquarters. And once we lead warfare, what we discovered, Apostle Leon had a vision, and he said, Bishop, wherever you've done warfare and opened to heaven, it becomes a portal for angels to come and go, and it becomes a headquarters and one of God's forts for his warriors and for his angels. This makes this place going to become a warrior fort.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And a portal, amen, of God's glory. And we're going to release God's glory tonight. The glory is where? Within you. Christ in you, the hope of the glory and the power and the anointing. Amen. And so one thing God spoke to us one day, and he said, I want you to change that scripture in 32:30 from soldiers killing soldiers. How many know 32:30 says one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. In God's military math, 1 + 1 is not 2. 1 + 1 goes to the power of 10. So one could put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000, 3, 100,000, 4, 1,000,000, 7, 1,000,000,000, 10, 1,000,000,000,000, 13, quadrillion, come on, 16, quintillion, sextillion, and you get on up to 1 + 18 zeros. But you know how many 100 can put to flight? A centillion, 1 + 300 zeros. When we shout, we're generating more power than it takes to run New York City all night.
Amen.
Come on. Do you have that kind of power within you?
Yes.
What's his name?
Jesus.
Christ Jesus. You have Christ in you?
Yes.
When he shouts, let there be light, what happened?
Light.
Let there be a universe, it happens. And when we let him arise and shout,
yes,
through us, things happen. And God showed me our greatest weapon of mass destruction against the enemy is a shout of faith. And there's about 20 good scriptures on the shout. I won't have time to go through them all. When I was in Nigeria, I taught on Jesus being the mighty man of war on Wednesday night. I taught on our prophetic acts of faith. And I'm going to show you the only way I know we do corporate warfare is on Thursday night, Friday night, I taught on the shout. And I led them in the shout, and we saw tremendous things happen. I was in Papua New Guinea, and we had a group there, and we had 3,000 inside there. And I taught them that, and I showed that there was corruption in the government. And God said, we're going to shout tonight, and we're going to drive that spirit out, and whoever is cooperating with it is going with it. And they shouted for about 45 minutes. Next day, a warrant went out for the arrest of the president, and they fled the country. I mean, we were in Birmingham, Alabama, and some warriors there and some intercessors there. We've been praying for 20 years against a spirit. Looks like a big, gigantic, ugly pig, you know, one of the wild pig. And he said, it consumes the wealth, consumes the wealth. And we've been praying and praying. And that night we went to warfare, and we decreed against that. And they said during that time they saw in the spirit had come down. And somebody took a picture, and there's flames of fire between two big institutions of wealth, and big flames of fire just shooting up there, which they took a picture of it. You know, the devil knows we got power, but he's trying to convince you you don't. Do you really believe the God of the universe dwells in you? Has he given you any right to use your mouth for good? And as they say, the people that go with this Jewish calendar, like my good friend Chuck Pierce, say this is the year of pay, which means your mouth. Well, that's we prophets. We're the mouth of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And the mouth, you're going to win the victory. And so when we shout tonight, I want you to know we're just not making noise. We have the light of the world within us. First thing we're going to do tonight, after I give you a little scripture, I want you to do it in faith. So faith comes by hearing the truth about the matter. So when we shout tonight, we're going to make an open heaven, and we're going to shout and take all of our lights. How many knows that you're the light of the world?
Amen.
Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Then he said, "You're the light of the world." And we're all going to point our finger straight up the middle. We're going to shout and let our light shine, and all of our lights are going to come together and make a Holy Ghost laser beam big as this building.
Amen.
And it'll shoot straight through to heaven's throne through the powers of darkness. And it's a light, it's a beam of light, pure cosmic Holy Ghost light. The devil can't penetrate it. And you have an open heaven portal that the devil can't stop the glory and the angelic visitations of blessing the Lord coming. I mean, we're God's executioners. Come on, we're God's delegated authority to implement his purposes upon the earth. And the church is going to wake up one of these days and be the church.
Amen.
Say, we're the church.
We're the church.
Say, we're the church.
We're the church.
Hallelujah. Whatever you do, do it to give the devil shivers. Amen. Now, another principle you got to understand is the biblical principle that in 1 Corinthians 10:11, Paul said that all those things happened to Israel. It wasn't fantasies. They really crossed the Red Sea. All these things happened. But it didn't happen just to give a historical record of Israel. It says they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And for that scripture ever been true, it's sure true now. How many believe we're closer to the end than we were 2,000 years ago?
Yeah.
We're closer to the end time. So it says it's written for our admonition, teaching, instruction, understanding, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Now, so whatever Israel went through in the natural, we do in the spirit. I told you this morning on the restoration of the church, coming from Egypt to Canaan, that as they've progressed, we progressed, and now we're in Canaan, we're at Jericho, and how did they first get their first breakthrough in Canaan? At Jericho, how'd they get their breakthrough? The shout. Amen. And those walls were way high. A chariot could run around the top. It's impregnable. No way they could come down. But they came down flat.
Hallelujah.
I just read about some geology the other day where they had discovered that they really did go down flat. Earth must open up and they just slid right down in and fell down flat. However they did it. And the next thing those Jericho and saw was flashing swords of Israel. And the next thing they saw was hell opened up. And they killed every one of them. Most of us couldn't have been in Joshua's army. We're too sweet Santa Claus, Jesus saints. We wouldn't hurt anybody. But do you believe the Bible? Did God tell Joshua and his army, when you go in Deuteronomy 7:1, he said, "I'm sending you into a nation. There are seven mighty nations are." And he says, "They're mightier and greater than you." How you like God says, "Go do this, but you don't have the power to do it." Come on. "They're mightier and greater than you, but don't worry about it. I'll be the great equalizer. I'm going to fight for you."
Yes.
And there's about 20 scriptures in that book. God, that usually says God fought for Israel. God fought. God fought. God fought for Israel. God's a fighter. Say, God's a fighter.
God's a fighter.
See, you got to see the whole nature of God. There's 365 names of God, and one of them is Mighty Warrior.
Mighty Warrior.
And one of my points on the Word, 13 points I had on the Word of the Lord, one of them is on Joel, where it says, "Prepare for war."
Yes.
Come on, prepare for war.
Yes.
And it says, "Wake up, awake, O church. Put on your strength." And we're going to put on the whole armor of God, and we're going to go to war. Now, we are in Canaan, and from here on out, it's fight. It's fight. It's fight. Well, I don't like to fight. I'm a lover. I just want sweet Jesus. First time I preached for Peter Wagner in 1995, had about 3,000 people there in California, and I didn't know most of them were Santa Claus, Jesus, saints. And... So what did I preach on? Jesus, the mighty man of war. And at the end, I activated him in the prophetic, had him join hands, pray in tongues. And Peter Wagner says, oh, I made a policy they weren't to pray in public in tongues. He said, I guess that's over. I guess we'll start praying in tongues now. But we need to know that we're in the day of Jesus. He's not coming back as a lamb. He's not coming back to be beat up, to be crucified. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, King to take care and wipe out everything that's not God. You got to, you know, the Jews looked for the conquering Savior that was to come, but he came as a lamb and a servant and died on the cross. Now, most Pentecostal evangelical Christians are looking for sweet Jesus to come back and love on them and take them to heaven, and that's all they see. But he's coming back as a king, as a conqueror, as a mighty God, as Almighty God. And in my book on who am I, why am I here, only in top of a book I wrote in the form of a novel, but I talk about 8 reasons God created the human race, but I have a 9th I didn't amplify much because then bigger people was ready for it. But the 9th is God created man not only to be able to have a bride of Christ for Jesus, his son, but also God created man not only in his own image to have a worthy opponent to fight with. Oh, God loves a good fight.
Yes, he does.
If you don't believe me, just set yourself against him. You know. And in Jeremiah 51:20, God says, you are my battle axe and weapons of war.
Yes.
First time I read that, I thought he was talking about my mother-in-law. But, but God says, you are my battle axe and weapons of war with you. It tells 10 things. I'm going to break the nations. I'm going to do this. I know it's symbolic of Cyrus, but it's talking to the saints. Just like it talks about Lucifer. That's the devil. And I want you to know, you're here on purpose. The rest of your days are not to be sent drifting, but to be warriors. You say, but I'm over 50 years old. What am I going to do? Oh, just hang on till Jesus comes. No, you're going to rise up and be a warrior.
Amen.
You know, I've got the Caleb anointing. I turned 85 years old this year. I'll be 86 this year. Last year I turned, I'll be 86. And I'm going to keep going. I'm going to fight.
Amen.
If Caleb could do it, I can do it.
That's right.
He didn't have the Christ in him like I have.
That's
come
right.
on. But he went war. And, you know, it's amazing. When I first got that supernatural visitation in 1973, when God released me to prophesy over hundreds of people at a time, I would go to churches and prophesy from 9, 10 o'clock at night, sometimes 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and feel stronger and better at the end than I did the beginning.
Wow.
And now there's a new anointing, a new grace for warfare.
Yeah.
I've reproduced so many. They can all do the prophesying, teaching, and training. I'm the general now that's leading in warfare. And after I do warfare for 45 minutes to an hour, I feel better at the end than I do at the beginning. Come on, that's the reason I usually get a little 8-year-old up here with me, and we both go for 45 minutes, and all you middle-aged folks out there, between 85 and 8, I said, they still going? Oh, they still going? No, you got to get in it. You got to get in the spirit of it. Amen, you know? Did you ever watch teenagers on the phone, romancing, talking? They're giggling, they're talking. So what's going on? They're talking to a thing. You know, well, now it's texting on the phone. They don't react as much. But you're not tuned into what they're tuned into. You're not hearing what they're hearing. So when we get into it tonight, we don't want you to say, it's warriors fight. See, what we're going to do, we'll do motions. What I'll explain to you. I asked Michael, how can we do spiritual warfare? Here's a dilemma we have. How many Christians have here? How many believe you are what God says you are and you're going to do what God says you can do?
Amen.
How many believe God's word is true?
Amen.
Do we believe 2 Corinthians 10:4? We have weapons and they're mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. Say, we have weapons.
We have
weapons. Why do you need war weapons if you're not going to fight?
All right.
We have weapons of war and they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You think you got any strongholds over this area? Have there been any old ancient spirits around here, religious spirits and Jezebels and witchcraft and everything else? Why you ignore it? Why don't you get rid of it? We can clear the atmosphere. Come on. And we need to realize the power and authority we get. Jesus says, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, for I give it to you. Come on, how many preachers preach that God's given us power?
Yes. Come on. Hallelujah.
What are we to do with it? The other day I was singing, Lord, show me your glory. He said, if I did, what'd you do with it?
All right.
Well, you want to see my glory? Oh, sounds exciting. No. I'm not interested in me tickling your ribs. I want you to use my glory to destroy the works of the darkness. You know, it's amazing. You know, I travel all over the world. I go in some churches, and I don't get in many of them because they don't invite me that much. But I go in some churches, and they just want Jesus to love them. I just want to love on Jesus. I just want to love fest. I said, that sounds good. And Jesus love on you. And then I go to other places. I said, ooh, we're going to have a party. I want to go to that party. I said, listen. If God had created man to have somebody to love on, he'd create us babies.
All right.
Adam and Eve would have been babies. Because all they're good for is loving on. How many was a baby one time? You haven't always looked like that, have you? How many's ever had a baby? Held a baby? What they're good for? Nothing but loving on. They can't talk to you. They can't help you. They can't work with you. They can't communicate with you. But they can just take your loving. And then teenagers. If God had wanted to have a party, he'd created Adam and Eve teenagers. Come on. But he didn't create them babies or teenagers. He created them grown men and women with intelligence and ability to walk and talk with him, share his plans and his future and his destiny, what he created them for, what he wanted them for. And God is looking for sons and daughters and not babies and teenagers. He wants grown-up men and women that can hear his voice, work with him, and collaborate with him to finish the job. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, here's the dilemma we have. Here we are in this building, and I guess that's wood and cloth and plastic. It's natural. And you see anything up here besides that? Unless you're really spiritual, you might see the angels that are stationed around here.
Amen.
But see, we're in a natural world. We're natural beings. How many are still a mortal being? Pinch them, see if they're still mortal. Are you still mortal? You're a mortal being, physical flesh and bone being. And we just see natural things. But we're asked and commanded to war against spirit beings.
That's right.
In another dimension. Mm. Now, it was simple for Joshua and David. They just took the sword and cut heads off, ram swords through. But how do we fight an invisible force? And I'm going to... Ephesians 6:12 says, for we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, armies of wicked angels, powers of darkness. Are you the light of the world? We actually battle against those. How? I find 90% of Christians do not know how to do spiritual warfare. Now, we've got about 10 or 12 books on spiritual warfare for yourself. How to protect yourself from the devil, witchcraft, the blood of the Lamb, the name of Jesus, the praises of God, all that. But this is the first book, the one I just published here last year on God's weapons of war, which I called it God's World War III, but Chosen thought that was a little too wild. But anyhow, so we call it God's weapons of war. And in that I give all the scriptures on Jesus being a mighty warrior, all the scriptures on prophetic acts of faith, and the illustrations on war has done that. How many know when David was going to go to battle one day, he did it one day one way, and he's getting ready to go to battle, and they said, Lord, how do I win this battle? He says, go around the other side of the mountain from where these Philistines are, and when you see these trees begin to lean toward the battle, you head for the battle because Michael and his war angels are going before you. Come on. And it says, and they were killing and destroying evil forces. I don't know. You said, can you kill demons? I said, I don't know, but I sure deactivate them. I know Michael didn't kill Lucifer and his angels, but he sent them to darkness and bound them on the earth with darkness. Amen. And so I don't care how, but I want to get rid of them and deactivate them. Neutralize them. Praise God. And they when they went, and David killed Philistines, and as they were killing the things that were helping the Philistines, David was able to win the battle better. You have to win it in the heavenlies. We are God's spiritual air force. And we're like stealth bombers. We come in, and the devil doesn't even know we're there. We blow him to hell. Come on. We send him home. Amen. You see, you say, well, one lady told me, oh, I don't want to go spiritual warfare. I don't want to make the devil angry at me. I said, do you love Jesus? Yes. Then the devil hates you with a passion. Come on. You're afraid to make the devil angry? He already is angry at you. Amen. The best defense is offense. And we're in the army of the Lord. And in 2016, God activated the church into the army of the Lord. We're off the defense. We're on the offense. We're marching. We're going forward. We're taking territory. We're possessing our promised Canaan land. Hallelujah. The church was raised up to torment the devil and to send him to hell, where it's a final job. How many has ever read Revelation 19, where Jesus and the white horse and the army comes? And they come in and says, oh, devil, will you please get out of the way? No. He comes with a two-edged sword in his mouth. And Ephesians 6 says, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And we've got that two-edged sword in our mouth, the word of God. And it says we're going to go forth, killing and destroying. And the armies in heaven followed him, and we're going to be there with him. And we know there's an army of saints, because it says they have the robe of righteousness on, and they're covered by the blood. Hallelujah. So, what you getting ready for? What you preparing for? Try to make it to the end and make it to heaven. Oh, if I can just make it in. I don't want to just make it in. I want to be more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. Amen. And God's raising up an army, not a retirement society.
That's right.
Now, I know most of you here, how many are 50 or older? Wave your hand. Oh, about all hands are raised. You know. But listen, I want to tell you young'uns under 80 years old, we're still fighters. I'm 85, got a few little pains and twangs, nose started bleeding this morning early, couldn't get it stopped, but I preached anyhow, blow blood at you. When you get 85, nothing embarrasses you, you just... Now, the only way I have found to do spiritual corporate warfare is by acts of faith and divine decrees. Acts of faith. And in my book, I have about 20 acts of faith. What's an act of faith? It's acting on a word of the Lord or a creative idea or prophecy and acting it out and believe it's going to work. Now, acts of faith are illogical to the natural mind, nonsensical. In fact, they embarrass the flesh. When we go to warfare tonight, we're going to do warfare action. If I want you to worship, I have you do what? Raise your hands. If I want you to rejoice, what do I have you do? Clap your hands. If I want to love you, I put my arm and put it around you. If I throw it out this, what does that mean? Stop. What does this mean? Pow, right in the end there. Amen. See, your hands in motion. We used to have one of our young prophets, her mother was a deaf mute, and they could do sign language. You remember, you used to come and see how we did sign language? And you can talk with your hands. How many know some people can talk with their hands? And your hands. The only thing you got to work with are your hands and your mouth. And your mouth is the voice of God and the authority of God. And so we do prophetic acts. And let me just give you a few. I'm just going to skim through this because you believe it already and you know it. So I'm just trying to encourage you to do it in faith, boy. How many ever heard of taking a stick, a rod, and dividing a great big sea? Hold it out. Moses, hold it out, and the waters will roll back. Wind will blow all night. You wake up in the morning, they're all back. You say, huh, really? Yeah. Moses was out after they went in the wilderness, taking the children of Israel there. Amalekites started attacking them, sent Joshua with a few of the warriors against them. Moses up there said, oh, hallelujah. You notice Joshua and them started killing the enemy. He let his hands down. Oh, they started losing. So wait a minute, put his hands back up. They started winning. Put them back down. They started losing. All of a sudden, they realize somehow by this act of faith, they get the victory. Now, how does Moses holding his hands up on a hill help them get the victory down there? It's an act of faith. We're trusting in you, Lord. Come on. Jane found an article in some magazine where they did a study, and they found the most victorious, successful, positive posture they could find, physical posture, was your hands up like this for 2 minutes. We've been doing it for years, didn't know when we was doing it. Not only are you praising God, but you're putting your whole system in a victorious posture.
Thank you, Jesus. Come on.
2 minutes up.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. And have to even lose fat. That's a good old devil. Now, acts of faith. Now, most of them was, you remember Elisha? The sons of God came to him and said, hey, I borrowed an axe, and I chopped in the wood, and the axe head fell in the river. Would you pray God will get it out? He said, no problem. Give me a stick. Threw the stick in the water. Iron axe head came to the top and swam to shore, and he picked it up. You take a stick and throw it in and see if iron comes to the top. Well, let me tell you one. How many took biology in school? All three of you, okay. Let me have you explain to me how this act of faith worked. Jacob had worked for years for his uncle Laban, who was as crooked as he was and manipulative. And after a while, he had all these wives and children. And he realized, here I am all these years. Family's growing, and I'm going to have to part from my uncle someday. And I don't already have anything. I've been taking care of his sheep and goats. So he came up with an idea. I tell you what, I'm going to make a deal, make a proposition to Jacob, Uncle Jacob, Uncle Laban. And Jacob told him, he said, here, Uncle Laban, I got a deal for you. You notice all the sheep and goats are usually solid black or solid white. Just a few speckled and multicolored. And he said, I tell you what, I'll keep the sheep for another few years and keep your animals, but all the speckled, multicolored, I keep, and all the solid colors you can keep. Uncle Laban thinks, boy, that boy's been out in the sun too long. Amen. Shake on it, brother. And so what does dear old Jacob do? He goes out and gets his some branches and strips them and dots them, and he puts them at the water trough where they drank water and where they normally mated. And when the sheep came in and the goats came in, he put them in there. And those solid black goats and solid black sheep would have speckled and spotted. Now, I was raised on a farm. That doesn't work. And then when the strongest came in, and really high-bred, you know, state fair winners, he put it for them. And they bred speckled and dotted multicolored sheep. And within a short time, he had more sheep and goats than Uncle Laban had. Now, biologically, tell me how putting a stick that's got strips in it in the front of their eyes caused their biologically to produce speckled sheep. You don't know? I don't either. It's all by faith. Right? Tell me how you can take a pint of oil and fill barrels and barrels and barrels with it. Come on, but did the widow woman be able to do that? See, it's an act of faith. Now, most of it, God told him to do it, but God didn't tell Jacob, no record. He just come up with another scheme, another method, and God blessed him. And God blesses prophetic acts. Faith is action. All action is not faith, but there's no biblical faith without action. Come on, James 2, 14 through 26, 8 times in different ways says, faith without corresponding action is not faith. Come on. Faith as a body without a spirit's dead, so faith without works is dead, right? So you got to have action. He says, you say you got faith? I've got works. You show you your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Amen. He wrote that book to help the Baptists out, that thought you're just all, wait now. You need to know that action. God respects action. Come on. You can't even get saved without prophetic act. How many did a prophetic act of opening your mouth and confessing your sins? Now, how does opening your mouth and confessing your sins wipe them all away? Because God said so. I said, God said so. Believe in your heart and do what? Confess with your mouth. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, but with the mouth you possess. You can believe in your heart all day long, all life long, and never get an answer unless you possess it with your mouth. That's only half. Whatsoever you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. How many got something you've been praying for years or months or days? How many like to know? How many, you ladies may not know it, but there's a dipstick in your engine. How many of you men know that, huh? And what does it do? It tells you how much oil you got in there. And you stick a dipstick down there, empty, half, quarter. So let me give you a dipstick for your faith. How many know God does not answer prayer? God answers faith expressed in prayer. They didn't get that over here. Let me tell you. God doesn't answer words tumbled out of your mouth. God answers faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that believeth, cometh to God, must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder. So God answers faith. You remember that scripture that Hagin wrote? Well, he didn't write, he made it popular. Mark 11:24. Whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. But to have it, you have to receive it. To receive it, you got to believe it. To believe it, you have to pray about it. To pray about it, you got to desire it. It starts out with desire. Let's say, this is Laura, right? Say a big war angel comes right here. Says, Laura, the next 3 seconds, give me your three greatest desires, and they're yours. And she said, God bless you, Laura. You get three us. If God came to you right now and said, give me your three greatest desires, if you have to think about them, you don't have them. It's like when my wife used to ask me, honey, do you love me? I better not stop and start thinking about it. Or I'm going to be in outer space and flying saucers everywhere. And I preached this about 30 years ago, maybe 40. And my wife wrote down three of her greatest desires. It takes 1 5 years, the other 10, the other 15 years to come to pass, but they all come to pass. One was that all of our children would marry in the will of God, and we'd be able to pay our employees the same good like the regular world, and there was something else. But do you have desires? Is it okay to have desires? In fact, he said if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the right desires. Then he'll grant the desires of your heart. So, but you have to first desire. That's why the Bible says desire spiritual gifts. How many actually, it didn't just say desire, it says earnestly desire. When I used to teach out the old King James, it says covet to desire. Right. Some of you want to covet something all your life. I'll give you something you can covet to your heart's desire. Yeah. Covet to prophesy. Amen. It's the only ministry and attribute God tells you to covet. It says you got to have love or you're nothing, but you got to covet to bless others. Covet to prophesy. Earnest desire. How much passion do you have? Do you have any passion for anything? Well, just to get up in the morning, make the day. Oh, do you get up in the morning and say, good morning, Lord? You say, oh, Lord, it's morning. Now, words and action. Say words and action. How many married folks do you have here? How many know your marriage is successful based on words and action? You know what I discovered? This is kind of a side issue, but this couple is out here. They need it real bad. You're always patient with us here. I could make my wife, and she was a sweet little darling thing, easygoing, easy-tempered, but I could make her a demon or an angel. All by my words and action. Now, some of you husbands and wives need to listen to this. This might be your best word of the whole night. I remember I was out of pulpit ministry for 3 years. God was processing me in some areas. And I remember one day I had to sell, and then the guy wouldn't let me change it. Anyhow, I came home, but I was frustrated. I came in and yelled and screamed at my wife and, you know, and acted dumb. And it was a cold night. But I discovered I could come home and be frustrated, upset, and say, "Coming, what you been doing all day? I've been out making a living for you. You hear these three kids? You just been watching TV all day? You know, is supper ready?" And oh, I set an atmosphere. Come on. You know, we go to bed that night. She turned over this way, going, and I turned over this way. But I could come home with the same problem, same pressure, same boss, give me the same problem, and come and open us. "Oh, honey, good to see you. You're the best thing I've seen all day. It's so lovely. What can I help you do? Anything? Do you need me to change the diaper on the kid or help you set the table? What can I do to do you?" And just maybe water the flower. And oh, the difference in the night. You're all adults, right? Okay. You see, I could make my wife a lover or a scratching cat. See, mostly, there's some exceptions, but mostly your mate just reacts to the stage you set. And I could make my wife any way I wanted her if I'm willing to humble myself, pay the price, and take the right actions and the right words. Right? There's a few people here from Mars, and they don't understand we earth folks. So, but, and we can do the same thing with our mouth with God. Our mouth, well, let me talk about the shout now. We're about into that. I've talked about God's a mighty warrior. How many, I don't think I need to convince you God's a warrior, do I? How many believe he's a fighter? Amen. How many of you get God's kills people personally with his own two hands? He does. First time I preached for Peter Wagner, I said, "I can show you more people God killed in the Old Testament than he saved." One sister said, "God doesn't kill anybody. He hires the devil to do it." She doesn't understand processes. Another person said, "Well, you're talking about the God of the Old Testament. Old Testament God was a fighter. He was hard. Ta-ta-ta-ta. He didn't have love. He didn't have mercy and all that." I said, "You got a God of the Old Testament, a God of the New Testament? I thought there's only one God." Come on. Now I said, "By the way, what God was it so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son? Old Testament God or New Testament God? We have an Old Testament and a New Testament. We don't have an old God and a new God." And God says, "Well, God is one." And he says, "Beside me there is no other." And so I want you to know that God is almighty, all-powerful. And you actually believe he's in you? You really don't believe that, do you? That same power that created the universe is in you? That formed the worlds? Is in you? And you're in the mess you're in? I mean, and we let the flesh and the devil convince us we can't do anything? What we're going to do, listen, we determine the next election. We determine the nations. I tell the nations, church, you determine your nation.
Yes, we do.
I don't blame Republicans or Democrats.
It's not about that.
It's the church.
It's the church.
When the church does what we need to, we come through victorious.
Amen.
And church, it's time for the church to rise. We are in Canaan. We're in the army of the Lord. So let me take a couple of shots at the shout. Got to keep this juicy. What was that scripture, Pastor Janet, you read that God's going up with a shout and with a trumpet?
Psalm 47.
Psalm 40. I know it says going up with a shout. Does it say trumpet also?
Yes.
He went up with a shout. Evidently,
yes,
when he
yes.
started.
God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet.
Wow. How's he coming back? Behold, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
and the sound of the trumpet. And when he says hallelujah, when he says Yah, the dead are raised in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That shout is so powerful that it goes around the world and raises dead bodies back to life that's been dead for 6,000 years, some of them. Come on. Clear back. I mean, it's powerful. And the shout. And then it says, we who are alive and remain are changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. How many believe in the RT, Resurrection Translation? How many want to be in the resurrection? You got to die first. How many want to be in the translation? You got to live till Jesus comes. Amen. Now, just as this is a side issue, but I want to make sure you believe what you believe you believe. Let me ask you one question, see if you really believe it. How many is going to take that body you're sitting in to heaven at the rapture? How many vote yes? How many vote no? As usual, you don't vote and you get stuck with whatever you get. Now, what's going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye? How many's already been born again, changed, transformed? How many's already got eternal life in you? So what's left to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye? Our bodies. Now, let me help you to understand. Let's just have a make-believe rapture. Just pray like I wasn't ready. Just pray like. And Father God says, okay, Jesus, all things are fulfilled. You're ready to go get your church. Now you can. He leaps off the throne and gives a shout, hallelujah! And he hits here and I'm watching. Do I see spiritually bodies, empty chairs, benches, or empty bodies? How many vote empty bodies? How many vote empty benches? You're still going to be stuck with whatever you get. You didn't vote. What's changed? Now, let me help you, ladies. You're not going to take it in the shape it's in. You're going to see the fastest makeover you ever saw in your life. Ooh-wee! I'll suddenly get waves back on my beach. This 44 Magnum will turn back into a 22. You'll see the most handsome Bill Helen you ever saw. Won't have a blemish, Mr. Universe. Now, how many would like to take that body to heaven with you? So how many believe, what body did Jesus take to heaven? A new creator. Jehovah Witness say he created a new body out of stardust. Was the body that born of the Virgin Mary, walked the shores of Calvary, hung on the cross of Calvary, did that same body that was in the grave, was it taken to heaven? Philippians 3:21, it says he's going to give us a glorious body like his own. To be a complete human being, you have to be body, soul, and spirit just like God made you in the beginning. So why do the living saints, when Jesus comes, they're changed, they get their body. So why does he need to resurrect the bodies of the other? Because Jesus has his human body. The last day saints at the rapture get theirs changed and taken to heaven, so they have to get theirs back. My wife's coming back to get her body. Amen? My mother, father, sisters, brothers, many are coming back. Why do they need them? I don't know. That's the reason I condemn preterism, because they don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. They can't figure it out. Just because your brain can't figure it out, the great scientist who said it knows how it's going to happen. How's he going to do it? I don't care if I'm flying over Florida and plane blows up. Part of me goes over here and alligators eat it. Part goes over and the shark eats it. This goes up in smoke. And other. I don't care. He knows how to do it. I said, besides, maybe it's like Jurassic Park. He just gets, each angel gets one cell. And when the rapture, he takes that cell right back where you died. And boom, you're going here again. Don't figure it out. Just believe it. I don't understand it. I just believe it. I didn't understand why my wife kissing me made me feel good. We just did it. I know you don't do it anymore. But anyhow. Now, I don't understand everything, but I do believe it. I don't understand when we shout that the angels go and blast demons everywhere. When we shout, we produce so much power, it blows demons like an atomic bomb. It's our atomic bomb. And I've done this in 30 nations, Asia, Europe, Africa, around the world, and many people have seen in the spirit, just like, how many's ever seen a movie where, you know, like this, boom, atomic bomb, blows things away? Amen. The devil's scared of your power. What's your power's name? Christ in you.
Yes.
He's scared of it. I think the biggest assignment of angels against the church is to keep us from ever finding out who we are, what we can do, what our authority is, and rising up and taking it and doing it. Keep you so self-conscious and sin-conscious and failure-conscious and human-conscious. You're not just human. You're a child of Almighty God.
Yes.
Come on. You're a God race. Huh? Are you sons of God?
Yes.
Are you a God family?
Yes.
You're sons of God?
Yes.
We're a God race.
Yes.
And we're bigger than the devil.
Yes.
In Christ. Do you know even Adam was made greater than the devil? The devil was a created being. Adam was made in God's own image and likeness.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason when Lucifer rebelled, Jesus, God didn't get off the throne. He says, Michael, get that pipsqueak and kick him off out of heaven and put him back to earth and put the earth in cataclysmic condition, flood it with earth and bind it in powers of darkness. But when man has to be dealt with, Jesus himself comes back on the white horse with all of his saints to deal with human beings. Humans are not only capable of being the bride of Christ, the queen of heaven with Jesus, King of Kings, but it's also a worthy opponent for God to fight with.
Wow, that's good.
You're not just a nobody going nowhere. You're not just an ant. Come on. You're a child of God. You have the power of the universe within you. And tonight, when we shout, which you know, remember Moses, when his clouds started moving, the fire started moving, he would rise up and then say, let God arise and his enemies be scattered and all whose hate him destroyed. When we shout tonight, Christ in us arises. And that creative, universal, all-powerful power of the Christ within that created the heavens and the earth and everything therein rises up and blows demons and spirit forces clear out of this area. And we're going to keep doing it till we get rid of them. And probably won't get them all until Jesus comes in the white horse and we come with him. But we're going to kill a lot of them now. Come on, you're devil destroyers. Get off your cruise ship. Come on. Get on your warship. Get to your gun. Open your mouth. Let God arise and cast the devil out of your family, out of your business, out of your family area, out of your church, out of your community. We are the light of the world.
Amen.
And light dispels darkness, but darkness cannot destroy the light. And we're against the powers of darkness. Now, we're going to shout tonight. And I'm just giving you tidbits at the top of the mountain. And you need to get the book on, if I'd have known I was going to preach on warfare tonight, I'd have brought a box of books. But they're available on, if your e-book are on, what do you call it? Not Bonanza, Amazon. Oh. I watch Bonanza sometimes. Now, okay, how many is convinced we're warriors and we have power? So that's all I wanted to do, let you know we've got this authority, we have this power, and we're in the army, we're the activated army of the Lord. Remember, the devil is the one that's in trouble. Come on. One lady said, well, this work at home, I've got all kind of contention going on in the home and problem. I said, sure. So she went through her house shouting all for about 15, 20 minutes, shouting all the way through. Next day, there wasn't any contention. The family came back in order. Things came back alive. You can cast out devils. Come on. One reason you feel so good tomorrow, physically you may feel a little sore, but you'll feel so good in your spirit because while we're casting out these big demons, your little pets get away too. Oh, you didn't catch that, did you? Now, let's start off with making open heaven. How many of you ever read Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14? How many's read it?
Amen.
Wave your hand. Let's see. All right. I had all my ministers memorize that years ago, and I memorized it. It's kind of hard to memorize because there's a lot of repetition, but I memorize it. And I quote it most of the time before I go to sleep at night. I don't count sheep. I quote scriptures. I'll quote the whole chapter of Romans 8 or Ephesians 1 or something. But I want you to know that the Word of God is within you. Come on. And we're going to rise and let God shine. Now, here's how we're going to make an open heaven. Jesus says, He's the light of the world, and we're the light of the world. And like I said, Deuteronomy 32:30 says, one can put 1,000 to flight, two put 10,000. That's not mathematically 1 plus 1. It goes to the power of 10. So how many people are there here tonight? 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. I can't count them. Is there 100 here?
Probably.
100? Okay. Oh, so 100. Now, 100 can produce Holy Ghost light voltage power. Say it. Holy Ghost light voltage power. What would that be, Jim? Holy Ghost light voltage. I converted that. God said converted from soldiers killing soldiers to individual saints producing Holy Ghost light voltage power. Watts of Holy Ghost light voltage power. One can produce 1,000. But if you join me, we don't produce 2,000. We produce 10,000. And if 100 of us join together, we produce 1 plus 300 zeros. And 6 trillion is 18 zeros. Unimaginable, incomprehensible, unlimited power. We can produce that much force and power. Whew. And everybody does their part. And let me give you one other scripture. Habakkuk 3:4 says, light rays flash from his hand, and therein is his power. How many watched the new movie of Miss America? No. What's the woman? Wonder Woman. The Wonder Woman, yeah. If she can shoot rays of light from her hand against the devil and destroy him, I visualize I got more light going out of my fingers. Come on. That's, you know where they get that? They have to get it somewhere. Their imagination, but light. God is light. And he says, you're the light of the world. So when we point, my 1,000 volts is going up, and adding to yours, and adding to yours, and we're going to make a Holy Ghost laser beam that will shoot straight through the power, second heaven, and all the powers of darkness to the very throne of God, and it's a solid light beam that no darkness can penetrate. And then you have an open heaven, then you can go home and claim Deuteronomy 28. 1 through 14, where everything you touch prospers. Your family is blessed. Your business is blessed. The enemy comes out against you one way, they flee, seven ways scattered. Come on. Your head and not the tail. You're above only not beneath. You loan, you don't have to borrow. I mean, man, all the blessings. Would you like to have an open heaven over your business, over your family, over your ministry, over your community? Are you ready? Come on, musicians. We're ready to. Oh, you're there. Oh, you're Johnny on the spot. Now, everybody stand. Now, we're going to do this first, and then I'll explain a little bit, and we go into warfare. Okay. This is a good round building. Man, I mean, there's angels all around here. Wow. They're waiting for us to give. How many know angels wait for us to give commands? What to do? And I'm going to have some ministers here do some decrees for this area. Which, when we make a decree, we program the missile, and we put the warhead on it. Then when we shout, we launch the missile, and the angels have the right direction, and they're taking them all these different places, knocking out Jezebel, wicked spirits, whatever's around here. Whatever we program it, they go to do it. Come on. We're the delegated authority. We make the decisions. Christ in us. Come on, you got to get a new picture of who you are and what you are in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, are we ready? Now, they're going to shout on their instruments. And they're going to say, you're not going to play a tune right now. You're just going to get the same key, I hope. But I just want you just not play an instrument, you're going to shout. But the rest of you are going to just give me all the volume you got for the next 5 minutes. We'll probably shout for at least 5 minutes. Okay? Mm-hmm. Turn it all the way up, because we want you to, that instrument is your voice. Okay? Now, how many is ready to get rid of the demons? Yeah. Hallelujah. Now. Okay. Everybody, point right to this center. Where all of our lights are coming together in a moment, all right? Now, I'm going to say, Lord Jesus, when I do, I want you to take a deep breath. And when I say Christ, let her rip and you shout. Are you ready? And I want you to shout. I want you to look in the, see in the Spirit and see that light coming and open to heaven. And I want you to see in the Spirit. Just get in the Spirit of it. Amen. Are you ready? Lord Jesus Christ! Let's just get real fanatical and make it bigger. Now we're going to, I want you to do a prophetic act, and I want to cover a little further territory. We're going to go out to 100 miles radius. Amen. And we're going to make an open heaven, and everybody here gets the benefit and those in. So we're going to do it again, and this time, make it bigger. Make it bigger. Come on. Prophetic act. I'm going to make it mine go all the way to back to Florida too. Cover that. Are you ready? Are you ready? Now, remember, all prophetic acts make the flesh feel stupid and silly and ridiculous. But God loves to crucify flesh and the acts of faith. Amen. Are you ready? I know this works. I do it. Amen. Are you ready? Lord Jesus Christ! Yeah. Everybody say, I have an open heaven. I'll read Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. I'll read Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. And claim every promise. It's mine now. I have an open heaven. All right. Now, you can remain standing. Margo, be seated for a couple of minutes. I'm going to have... You got a couple of people lined up beside you. We're going to have two or three ministers make decrees for this area. You know, you come against what the Spirit...
Michael and Judy.
Strong. How many know we could tear down what? How many think there's some strongholds in this area? Okay, I'm going to turn it over to Apostle Janet right now. And she's going to make some decrees. And they're going to set the stage where angels are to take these rockets and blow up places. Amen?
Amen. Amen. I decree the spirit of robbery, poverty, and lack is evicted from our territory.
Yeah, come on, agree with her.
I release the righteous scepter from the throne of God. It's being lowered into our territory.
Yes, yes.
We decree God's people are coming out of captivity.
Yes.
And the stronghold of Jezebel, divination, witchcraft, and manipulation, and religiosity is broken.
Yes.
And
yes.
God's people walk in the measure of the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ.
Father, we thank you for your power and your lordship, your authority and dominion. We decree tonight that the enemy is being confused and ambushed, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. We declare and decree that these enemies are being wiped out and the spoils of the enemy are coming to the house of God in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We decree tonight that our pulpits are filled with righteousness and justice and truth. We decree tonight that Christians are standing for truth, standing for your word. We decree tonight that our churches are open portals where Holy Spirit, you are leading and having your way where we gather together. We thank you for your divine interruptions in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you the religious spirits are releasing this territory.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. That your power and gifts are flowing, God, and your gifts are manifesting in our churches and in this territory in the name of Jesus.
Amen. So be it.
Father, we declare victory is in the camp of the righteous. We declare victory is in the camp of the righteous, and your people are going forth in victory. We do declare that the enemy is under our feet this day. We declare that religious structures are coming down in Jesus' name. We declare their defeat in Jesus' name, that you are Lord. You are Lord and not the ways of man.
Yes.
So, Father, we thank you tonight for victory in you. Victory in the cross and the finished work of Calvary tonight. And we say that the enemy in the spirit of infirmity is under our feet. He is defeated. And there's loosing of the body of Christ from our bodies, loosing sickness and disease and releasing signs, wonders, and miracles over your people in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's one more. We decree that divisive division is cast out of our territory. And the body of Christ is united.
Yes.
And our shields of faith are connected. And we are going forward in this territory as an impenetrable force.
Amen. And as Lance Waldo did for a while there, how many remember seeing the movie Particus? Where they did the races?
Yes.
No, it was, yeah. Yeah, it was, Yeah, Gladiator or whatever it was. Anyhow, when all those, they were in the cage and they came and they were supposed to be all killed as gladiators. But they got together and got all their shields together. And then when they all came, they said, as one. Let's do it together. As one. Not together.
As one.
Now a little more. As one. All right. Amen. Now we're going to go to war. Now, and I want you to take just a moment, because while we're dealing with these big demons, there's other angels going to deal with your smaller problems. And I want you to decree some things about your family, your business, your personal life, whatever it is, you need help. And you want angelic help. You want the Holy Spirit to work. You decree that too, because while we're fighting here, they're fighting all these homes represented here. Angels are going to every one of these homes. Businesses represented. Come on, churches. I mean, we got plenty of them. I mean, there's a few thousand of them here. And one angel killed 185,000. What's 1,000 going to do this year? Hallelujah. All right, stand back up, warriors. Now, we've set the rocket. Now, we're going to shout when we do. Launch it. Boom. 1,000 rockets go off in all directions, and they're geared exactly what we decreed. Come on, and the angels know where to take them. I guarantee you, Michael and his war angels are here with us. Come on, we're not by ourselves. And the Lord told Moses to tell them, when you go in, they're going to be greater and mightier than you, but my angel will go before you. And he says, have no mercy on them. We have no mercy on the devil. No mercy. We're demon destroyers. We have mercy on humans, but we're no mercy on the devil. And we're going to fight. We're going to shout. And we're going to keep praising God and shouting. And I want you to see in the spirit. Some of you are seers. If you'll shut yourself in with God, you'll see what's taking place. Now, it normally takes most people about 10 to 15 minutes to get in the spirit of it. But once you get to go, we're going to go just shout for a few moments. Then they'll get in kind of a rhythm, and they'll be making some decorations and song. And we're not going to clap. We're not going to raise our hands. We're going to do a prophetic act. We're at war. You can be a lover later. Jesus. You can be a worshiper later. Right now you're at war. Come on. So don't wave your hands. Don't clap your hands. It's boom, 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 boom. Every time you do that, knock out another devil. Come on, every time you do it. As I said, I've done this with over 100,000 people in 30 different churches and 130 different nations, 150 churches. And I tell you, the results are outstanding. It's going to make a difference. We're going to shift this area to kingdom demonstration, kingdom reality, Holy Ghost presence, and things happen. Are you ready? I'm going to say, Lord Jesus, and we're going to shout, and then we're going to shout, and then when I give you this, got the music rhythm. But now we're just going to shout. You did great a moment ago. You're good. Wow. Okay. Whew. Are you ready? Are you warriors?
Yeah.
Now remember, Joshua marched all night and fought all day. That's a warrior. And the day wasn't an ordinary day. He commanded the sun to stand still and the moon and extended another 10 hours. So he marched all night, started fighting immediately, and fought all 20 hours. Whew. I've got 20 swords in my office. I just swing them for a few minutes. Give it out.
Thank you, Jesus.
And then, I usually dramatize this about it tonight. God was sitting on a circle of eternity. He looked down and he says, General Michael, look at that Josh. That's my boy. Look at there. Boy, he just sliced that guy's head off. Boom, we got that one. How many ever saw the 300? The 300 Spartan? That's my boys. And boom, boom, cut. And God says, Josh, I said, Michael, this is getting me excited. And in Job 22:38, it says, God said, Job, have you seen in my armory my hailstone bombs that's made for the time of trouble and the time of war? He says, Michael, go to my storeroom. Give me some of those big ice bombs. I got to get in on this battle. I got to get in on this battle. And so Michael goes, comes out with some of these, in Revelation, he calls them 125-pound ice bombs. And he brings them out. He says, hey, Josh, 500 written away over there. Oh, don't worry about it, man. I got them. Boom. 500 eyeballs, heads, arms, legs. He died. Then he says, hey, there's 3,000 coming around behind you. Don't worry about it. I got them. Boom, boom, boom. 3,000 heads, arms, legs, bodies. And then he said, Holy Spirit, when you show Josh what was going on in the heavenlies, what ye was working down there, you sure be sure to put in there, read it when you get home, Joshua 10th chapter. Be sure you put in there, more were they that God killed with the hailstones than Joshua that his 600,000 soldiers killed with the sword. And there was five great armies. There's probably over 300,000. That means God probably killed with his own two hands over 200,000 of the enemy. God fights personally. One scripture says, fear not, for God himself shall fight for you. As you fight, angels participate and God fights for us. Whew. Are you partners with God? Are you ready? Now, most people go 30, 40, 45 minutes to an hour. I'll let you go as long as you can go. You know, if you go giving out, I'll try to encourage you to finish the job. But we're going to be like, some of you may be like Gideon, after they fought all, from midnight to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they were chasing 15,300 still alive, and chasing 15,000. And it says they were thoroughly exhausted, but still pursuing. I want you to not let one devil get away. We're going to keep pursuing until we got the victory, until they're all gone. Amen? And you say, what are you going to do, Josh? 300 of you catch up with 15,000? He did. He caught up with them. The Bible says he killed them all. Wow. Is that a warrior? That's a warrior. All right. Are you ready to be a warrior? Amen. Let's first, here's what I got to do. I want all the ministers up here with me. All the ministers. Ministers, teachers, and leaders. Y'all get on each side of me here. Make a line. Come on. Move that out of the way. Over here. Line right across here. Okay, just shoulder to shoulder across here. Okay. Just get a little part away. All right. Yeah. Don't be sawing out among the stuff. Are you a minister? Yeah, come on. Warriors. All righty. Hallelujah. Now, I want some. This is so different here. I want a warrior's. All right, in front of those benches all the way across. I need some warriors up here. And you're going to face out that way. Warriors! Some of you youngins under 80. Always shoulder to shoulder. All the way over there. They're filling it up there. Okay. All right. The rest of you want to stay back there. Lock the doors. Don't let anybody out. If you go out before we get the devils killed, they'll grab you. So stay in here. All right. Now remember what we're going to do. We're not going to panicate. We're not going to raise our hands. We're not going to wave our hands. What we're going to do, double up our fists, and boom, you're a warrior. Amen. And I remember down in Puerto Rico, I was down there, and this man, I mean, he got out there. He was kickboxing and going. I mean, he went wild for about 30 minutes in this past time. You know, but I want you to give it. I beat up devils. I'm not just going through motions. I'm killing devils. And when I hit, lightning bolts go out and knock demons everywhere. Amen? Okay. Now, you can start like this immediately, but when we hit the rhythm, then you go with it. Okay, but main thing, we're going to shout for about 5 minutes, and then we're going to go until you kill every devil that's before you. Okay? Are you ready to be warriors? You ready to produce your 1,000 Holy Ghost vote lodge power? Okay. Y'all ready?
Ready.
Your warriors up there?
Ready.
Okay. Lord Jesus Christ! Yeah, 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 yeah. Thank you.
come on. Jump, jump.
Yeah! Woo! victory. Unleash your power, Lord. Victory.
Jump, jump.
Victory! 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 Thank you. is ours. Victory 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 is ours. Hallelujah! He's underneath my feet. Crush the enemy. He's underneath our 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 feet. Satan is defeated. 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 He's underneath our feet. Victory is ours. 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 Victory is ours.
Destroyers! Come on, come on. All the way, all the way. Go, 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 go. Fight, fight, fight. Win, win, win. Go, 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 go. Glory!